Chapter 12. Joseph is appointed husband of the Virgin. On the 4th of September, 1944. I see a rich hall with a beautiful floor, curtains, carpets, and inlaid furniture. It must be still part of the temple. There are priests in it, including Zacharias, and many men of every age, from 20 to 50 approximately. They are all talking in low but animated voices. They seem to be anxious about something I do not know. They are dressed in their best clothes, which seem to be new or just recently washed, and they are obviously dressed for some special feast. Many have removed the piece of cloth covering their heads. Others still wear it, particularly the elder ones, whereas the young people show their bare heads, some dark blonde, some brown, some black, only one auburn. Their hair is mostly short, but some wear it long down to their shoulders. They do not all know one another because they observe one another inquisitively, but they seem to be akin somehow, because it is clear that they are all concerned with the same matter. In a corner, I can see Joseph. He is talking to a hale and hearty elderly man. Joseph is about 30 years old. He is a handsome man with short but rather curly hair, dark brown like his beard and his mustache, which cover a well-shaped chin and rise towards his rosy brown cheeks, which are not olive-colored, as is normal in most people with a brown complexion. His eyes are dark, kindly and deep, very serious and perhaps somewhat sad. But when he smiles, as he does now, they become gay and young-looking. He is dressed in light brown, very simple but very tidy. A group of young Levites comes in and they take up position between the door and a long narrow table, which is against the same wall as the door, which is left wide open. A single curtain hanging down to about 20 centimeters from the floor is drawn to cover the empty space. The curiosity of the group increases. It grows more so when a hand pulls the curtain to one side to admit a Levite who is carrying in his arms a bundle of dry branches on which one in blossom is gently laid. It looks like a light foam of white petals, with a vague pinkish hue that spreads softer and softer from the center to the top of the light petals. The Levite lays the bundle of branches on the table very gently to avoid detracting from the miracle of the branch full of flowers among so many dry ones. Whispering spreads in the hall. They all stretch their necks and sharpen their eyes to see. Zacharias, who is near the table with the other priests, also endeavors to see, but he can see nothing. Joseph, in his corner, gives a quick glance to the bundle of branches, and when the man he was speaking to says something to him, he shakes his head in denial as if to say, "Impossible," and smiles. A trumpet is heard beyond the curtain. They all become quiet and turn in an orderly way towards the door, which is now completely clear as the curtain has been pulled to one side. The high priest enters surrounded by elders. They all make a deep bow. The pontiff goes to the table and begins to speak, standing up. "Men of the race of David, gathered here at my request, please listen. The Lord has spoken. Glory be to Him. From His glory, a ray has descended, and like the sun in springtime, it has given life to a dry branch which has blossomed miraculously. Whereas no other branch on earth is in bloom today, the last day of the Feast of Dedication, and the snow that fell on the mountains in Judah has not yet melted, and everything is white between Zion and Bethany. God has spoken and has made Himself the Father and the Guardian of the Virgin of David, who has Him alone as her protection. A holy girl, the glory of the temple, she deserved the word of God to learn the name of a husband agreeable to the Eternal One. And he must be very just to be chosen by the Lord as the protector of the virgin so dear to him. For this reason, our sorrow in losing her is alleviated, and all worries about her destiny as a wife cease. And to the man appointed by God, we entrust with full confidence the virgin blessed by God and by ourselves. The name of the husband is Joseph of Jacob of Bethlehem, of the tribe of David, a carpenter in Nazareth in Galilee. Joseph, come forward. It is an order of the high priest. There is a lot of whispering. Heads move around, eyes cast inquisitive glances, hands make signs. There are expressions of disappointment and relief. Someone, particularly amongst the older people, must be happy that it was not his fate. Joseph, blushing and embarrassed, moves forward. He is now near the table in front of the pontiff, whom he has greeted reverently. Everyone must come here to see the name engraved on the branch. And everyone must take his own branch to make sure that there is no deception. The men obey. They look at the branch gently held by the high priest, and then each takes his own. Some break it, some keep it. They all look at Joseph. Some look and are silent. Others look and congratulate him. The elderly man to whom Joseph was speaking before exclaims, "I told you, Joseph." Who feels less certain is the one who wins the game. They have all now passed before the pontiff. The high priest gives Joseph his branch in bloom. He lays his hand on his shoulder and says to him, "The spouse the Lord has presented you with is not rich, as you know, but all virtues are in her. Be more and more worthy of her. There is no flower in Israel as beautiful and pure as she is. Please, all go out now. You, Joseph, stay here, and you, Zacharias, since you are her relative, please bring in the bride." They all go out, except the high priest and Joseph. The curtain is drawn once again over the door. Joseph is standing in a very humble attitude near the priest. There is silence. Then the priest says to Joseph, "Mary wishes to inform you of a vow she made. Please help her shyness. Be good to her, who is so good. I will put my strength and my manly authority at her service, and no sacrifice on her behalf will be heavy for me. Be sure of that.